Hello, everyone. Welcome to today's episode of In Case You Missed It. Well, if you missed it this morning, we talked about an old lady driving into a funeral home, and it wasn't a drive-in funeral home.
No.
You know, if I was going to go through the whole funeral process when I die, I wouldn't mind this happening, because at least it would add some excitement to it.
Okay, because, what?
I mean, let's face it, funerals are boring.
Yeah, and the first three letters are fun.
It should be fun. It's not.
Okay.
Funerals aren't fun. I want mine to have some excitement, a little fun to it. So if this one happened at mine, I wouldn't complain, or I wouldn't care anyway, because I'd be dead.
Right.
But 74-year-old lady, she drove into the lobby of a funeral home in Massachusetts. She had dropped somebody off for the funeral, and then she was going to go around to the back and park. Apparently had a parking lot in the back of this particular funeral home. Well, she gets back there and she pushes the gas instead of the brake and drives right into the service.
Oh, no.
Yeah, her passenger should have just stayed in the car. Probably got there a little quicker. Reynolds Wrap has invented the food harness.
The tray you wear on you.
Well, Reynolds Wrap, they're either ridiculous or brilliant. They've got a new product out called the Hunger Harness.
Hunger Harness.
What is the Hunger Harness, you may be asking?
Yes, I'm asking. What's the Hunger Harness?
It's a silver harness you wear on your chest with several thermal and insulated pockets for holding different snacks and keeping them warm. It also has a fold-out tray and a drink holder. So it's perfect for the Super Bowl coming up.
Wow.
Yeah. Reynolds Wrap says that they should hold enough snacks that you can go, quote, all four quarters plus the halftime show without taking a break.
You're wearing your food.
You're wearing your food. It's got a tray. They were $5. So they sold out immediately. They're making more. ReynoldsHungerHarness.com. I don't know what's the weirdest thing is that Reynolds Wrap let's make a feed bag, or that the general public went, yes. Yes, we want that.
I think they're genius. This will go. I see this going big. And then this will spin off into the micro fridge fanny pack.
That's actually not a bad idea.
Yeah. Or shoe salsa, where you just take it off and boom, you dip it in someone's shoe.
Uh-huh.
Ball cap chip bowl.
I have a feeling that one's been done before.
Well, yeah, it's already salty, seeing it as to.
Nasty. What are America's biggest fears? You know, I'm afraid of, like, dumb stuff, like bats. I'm afraid of bats, and I know that sounds silly.
I like watching them fly.
I don't know.
They're amazing to
They're
watch
flying
fly.
Rats. They're rats. They're rats. They can give you diseases.
Well,
they're nasty.
One dives on you and chews into you, but it rarely happens.
The number one thing, this was a survey of 2,000 Americans. They found snakes is the number one thing people are afraid of. 51% of us are afraid of them in some degree. Heights comes in at number two. The dentist at number three.
I don't like the dentist.
He's not my favorite, but I'm not afraid of him.
That drill sound.
Confined spaces at number four. Needles at number five. Yeah, I break out in the sweats when the needles have to come out.
Yeah, I don't like a shot. Me either.
Clowns is at number six.
That one gets me.
I don't get their clowns. They're supposed to make you happy. Make little balloon animals. That daggum movie made everybody afraid of clowns.
I know it. Remember when they were on the streets and people were freaking out. And
I feel bad for clowns.
Telling people not to dress like clowns.
Public speaking comes in at number seven. The dark at number eight. Flying at number nine. That's a big one for me. Birds. People are afraid of birds.
Don't get
5% of people are afraid of birds.
One fear I have is the boss saying, come in and close the door behind you. Because you know it's bad then.
Yeah. Every married man's biggest fear are the three words, can we talk?
Oh, yeah. Or let's watch The Notebook again.
On Facebook this morning, we talked about if you give your neighbors nicknames.
Everybody does, right?
Yeah, you do. Because no one really knows their neighbors anymore.
You don't know anybody's real name.
No. So you just give them names. Like little neighbor nicknames. Like I've got Red Truck Dude.
Yeah. Loud Muffler Guy.
Loud Muffler. Oh, yeah. I got plenty of Loud Muffler Guys. Here's some of your comments on Facebook. They're pretty good, too. Andrew Kessler has nice grass guy. He's the guy who's always got good green grass all year long, yeah. while yours looks like crap. Yeah.
You got yard envy.
I long to be nice grass guy one day. I mean, I want to be so bad. Brandon Griner says that he's got some neighbors he calls the Conehead family.
Morning, Brandon.
Nancy Mason Boozer's got Pokey Butt, Mouth of the South, Speed Demon, The Walker, and Two Dog Lady. She says Two Dog Lady is her, by the way. Liz Underwood's got the Crackheads, the Shut the Dogs Ups, and the They Are Never Homeses. Andrea Wiley, all her neighbors have special names. I got Horse People across the street and Stroke Lady behind me.
Oh, goodness.
Stroke Lady. A history lesson. It was the alternative history of the Upper Cumberland.
The alternative history of football. Today, let's look into the most winningest coach in football history, which, ironically, was from right here. His name was William Belichick II. Some would call him a cheater, but others say he did what it took to win. Mr. Belichick was known to climb scoreboards and change numbers when no one was looking. He distracted referees, and once he even blasted salt in the air at the opposing team so they couldn't see. He put rusty nails in the helmets of his opponents. Here's a picture of him holding a knife to the throat of an opposing coach. Just look at the determination in his eyes. The desire to win led him to mutilate mascots and call in fake bomb threats. Some say he went a little too far, so he became angry and resigned and then moved to a place called New England. He started a family there, and rumor has it, one of his sons also dreams of being a football coach. Sure, some of his victories were questionable, but not once did he lose a game. Until he lost his battle with dysentery. This has been the alternative history of football.
And we all need a little motivation every now and then, don't we?
That's right.
Well, I hear some, very, very little amount of it.
Now, it's time for a motivational moment to help push us over the obstacles that life puts in our way. To remind us that anything is possible when we believe in ourselves and get filled with inspiration. A moment to remind us we can climb any mountain and battle any storm.
Hey, it's gonna be all right.
Now let's carry those words of wisdom across the finish line of victory.
Tony had a brand new word of the day for you.
Here it is.
And now, to expand your vocabulary, Jason and Tony present Tony's word of the day.
Precipitation, anticipation, preparation. Precipitation, anticipation, preparation is a term for people who went to the store yesterday and bought milk and bread. Precipitation, anticipation, preparation.
That's Tony's word of the day.
Also, the best country lyric never written.
And now, Jason and Tony present the best country music lyrics that were never written.
He told the pretty woman, "I'd like to kiss you." She told him no with ninjutsu.
That was the best country music lyrics never written from Jason and Tony.
And as always, we'll leave you with today's
Real Good.
All right, there's a guy in Fairbanks, Alaska. His name's Ed Davis. He was out of town for work, and his 11-year-old black lab, Madeira, ran away from home.
Oh, no.
And he didn't have much hope of finding her because she's completely blind, and the temperatures were getting down way into the negatives at night, so he thought, I've lost my dog forever.
This is Alaska. It gets cold.
So when he came home 2 weeks later, he was just basically hoping to find her body and give her a nice burial, you know.
Yeah, let her rest.
He didn't have any luck finding her, so he offered a $100 reward to anybody who could find her. Well, then this guy was just out walking his dog, end up finding Madeira alive, wow, lying under a tree about half a mile from Ed's house.
Dang.
It's not clear how she survived the cold, but she lost about 14 pounds.
Oh, you know, yeah, she didn't have nobody to feed her.
She's back home. She's okay. The guy who found her, by the way, totally refused the reward money and just said, hey, Ed, just donate it to a local animal shelter.
What a man.
Well, Ed was like, wow, man, that's so cool. Here's $100. And he's like, so cool, you don't want to take it. So he made it $250 and donated it to the animal shelter.
Sweet.
So just a lot of great stuff there. I'm so glad he found his dog. I mean, it's heartbreaking to lose your dog.
You can kind of relate to this one, can't you?
So it's sad. But I'm glad his dog's back safe and sound. And to whoever that was that found Madeira, you are
real good.
Well, that's it for today's podcast. Hope you liked it. Hope you enjoyed it. And share it with your friends and listen to it over and over and over again.
Over and over.
Like we're your favorite band.
You know we are.
Yeah, come on, guys. I mean, do it. Make us feel good. We need it for our egos.
Right? Yeah.
Anyway, thanks for listening to
In Case You Missed It.